pieces, by the way, in this whole thing. We're going to start with a quiz. This is nothing to be nervous about, ladies, because it doesn't matter if you get it right or not, because I'm going to give you the answers at the end. You might know it all, and you might not. Page 12, it's just true, false. Feel free to cheat if you need to ask somebody else. And it's really just about our facility. So go ahead and pull down and do the book, page 12. Does anyone need a pen? I'm going to give you about 3 minutes. True call. Okay. Do you work? Do I have to turn it on? It's got batteries. I plugged it in. Okay. I plugged it in. Do you have an idea what I might be doing wrong on this? I plugged it in. It says plug it in, right? Mm-hmm. Plug the stupid thing in. And it's not working.
Ah, there's an on.
Thank you.
Blind. Did you see where those were? They were right there.
Oh, they're all right there.
I know.
I'm sorry, we're blind. It's a library. It's a pile of books, right?
I know, Vincent's like, pile of books. I'm like, what pile of books? We're surrounded by books.
Thank you. He said they were up here, so I do have to trust him. You guys pretty well done? You ready for the answers? Yeah, so number one is false. Number two is false. It's correct if it's wrong on there, and there's no grade. Number three is true. Number four is true. Number five is true, and number six is true. Number seven is false. Number eight is false. Number nine is true, and number 10 is false. Anyone get 100? Yeah! Woo! Okay, if you did not get 100, it's perfectly fine. I'm going to talk about all this during this next presentation about our fertility. So just relax and enjoy the process of learning how you were born. Now, this is not going to be news to most of you girls. It just might be seen as presented in a slightly different way through, of course, our Catholic faith lens. Okay? And there might be some information that your classes skipped. So, okay, so this is a picture on the, can I see it on here? I can, good, so I don't have to like stand over there. The ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, it depicts God creating Adam. Okay, does this work? Can you see red? Oh, look, can you see the red? Oh, this is great. Can you?
Yes.
I can't. Where is it?
It's down.
How blind am I?
I can't see
that anymore. Down,
we can see it.
Wait, go up.
What do
there
I
you
mean?
Go. Turn the fingers now. Good.
Can't see
go
it.
Up. Go up by the hands.
Somebody else.
You would really see it?
Yes. Yeah.
I
can
see it. But all of y'all can see it.
Yes.
No. Oh, good. Some other blind people. Okay, I don't think I'm going to use the pointer because... Maybe you could hold it. Can you, like, hold it and see? Go, like, go over there.
Is it this button?
It's like, yeah, the red on the top. Can you see?
It's down about the lower.
Oh, you know, I bet you can... Yeah, you can only... Can you see it on the floor, Jeannie?
Yes, I can see it on the floor.
I can see it on the floor!
Yeah, but look, when it goes up here... It disappears.
Yeah.
It was on there.
You can kind of see it, but it's subtle.
See it? Yeah. I think it's the angle.
I've used this before, and I could see... Never mind. I'm not going to use this. That's just too much for me. Where was I? Okay. We're at the Sistine Chapel. You're just going to have to guess. This is Adam. That's God. And then encircled in God's arm is Eve. Okay? That's a depiction of Eve. And behind her, those little cherub-looking things are depicted as... Heard the children that come from that marriage. And you know, whether creation happened this way or not is not important to us today. What is important is that God's first command to Adam and Eve was to leave, cleave, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. God's vision of love and sex, God's vision of sex is love and life, right, within the marriage covenant. So I'm going the wrong way. Excellent. So the church asks each of us to come to know ourselves. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? So when we get to know how our bodies work and come to know our sexual powers, it should lead us into respecting and being able to love others. Think about it. Knowledge of our sexuality should lead every young woman to think of a man as a beautiful image of God, made to be loved and not used. And every man should see a woman as an image of God, made to be loved and not used. Now, most young people become aware of their sexual powers around the age of puberty. That's when those bodily changes from a little girl to a woman start taking place. Usually that's between 10 and 13, usually earlier in girls than in boys. Puberty has certainly begun for at least the vast majority of girls in this room today, so you're familiar. Now, puberty begins in the brain. The brain is the boss of the reproductive system. In both males and females, they secrete those same two hormones, it's luteinizing hormone and FSH, which is follicle-stimulating hormone. You don't have to know the names of the hormones. It's those same two. They come out of the pituitary, and they stimulate the sex glands in the male and the female to start having them grow up. Okay, that's when puberty starts. In the male, it goes to the testes, where it starts to produce sperm. The testes starts to produce sperm. That's man's contribution to new life. It also starts excreting testosterone and androgen, which are the characteristics that turn a little boy into a man, which, you know, that we know what that is. They have their growth spurt. They have their shoulders get nice and wide. They get that nice triangle shape, right? Their voice starts to change, and they start to grow hair in different places. You know the difference between a boy and a man. In a girl, it stimulates the ovaries to start producing estrogen and progesterone to start maturing our egg cells. Our egg cell is, of course, our contribution to new life, one of them, because, you know, we do house new life also. But that's our contribution to the new baby. And starts our feminine characteristics, right, from a little girl to a woman, and you're very well aware of those changes. Our voice also changes, not so much as the man, but we end up with wider hips, get curvier, our breasts start to develop, we get hair in other places, and, of course, our menstrual period starts. These also control our menstrual flow. So, I guess it's changing. You just tell me if it's the wrong slide. So this is how our hormones work differently in men and women. Now take a look. Steady Freddy, as soon as he hits puberty, bang, they're off to the races, and it's steady from then on out. Sometimes boys hit puberty, and it hits them just like a ton of bricks. We have unpleasant things when it hits us, and they have unpleasant things when it hits them, right? Now this is Miss Roller Coaster. Now Miss Roller Coaster, these lines represent the ups and downs of the hormones during one menstrual cycle. Do you see the ride we're on? Do you know why maybe you're in different moods at different times during the day? Yeah, this is why, okay? That plays out for us every menstrual cycle, which is about 30 days. Did I go back the wrong way? Do I not know how to use this? I went back the wrong way. So in males, okay, because these hormones are secreted at the same level throughout his life, we can call him Constant Carl. That means they're constantly able to father a child. Once a man hits puberty to the time he dies, he is developing sperm cells in the hundreds of thousands of them every day, and his fertility is constant. Any day he can father a child. Now, the other picture is a microscopic picture of the sperm cells, which is a very funny but very important piece of the puzzle. It's one of the very important cells in a man's body. I know it looks like a tadpole. God has a sense of humor. All of the genetic material or the recipe for the baby, right, is in the little head. The tail, of course, helps it swim toward the egg so it can conceive. It's the smallest cell in the human body. It only has 26 chromosomes. It dies within hours if it's not in a favorable environment, but it is necessary for the procreation of new life. Now, these sperm cells live in the male's reproductive system. Now, if you've ever babysat a little boy or changed a little boy's diaper, you already know that the male's reproductive system is located mostly on the outside of his body. And although I find that a little bit funny, there is a good reason for that. Sperm need under, they can't be at regular body temperature in order to develop properly. It needs to be a little cooler. So God put it on the outside of his body in the testes, which are the little sac, the scrotum hangs down, the testes are here. That's where sperm is created and stored. It's stored in the epididymis, which is right over here, until released from the body. When the sperm, by the way, sperm take like 8 to 10 days, right, to develop. So they develop, they store in here. When it's time for them to move, exit the body, they go through all these tubes called the vas deferens. As they go by, they go through some other glands, they pass the Cowper's, they pass the prostate gland, and then they secrete this fluid in with the sperm, and the fluid with this sperm is called semen. If you've heard of seminal fluid, the seminal fluid mixes with that and it becomes semen. The way the male's body gets ready to release the sperm is the penis, which is made up of a spongy type muscle material, actually fills up with blood, and it makes it a little bit more firm and firm and long, I guess, firmer and longer, and that's called an erection, okay? And when the sperm leave the body, the term for that is an ejaculation. Each ejaculation can contain up to 500 million sperm cells. You know, the men are made pretty fantastically by God, and they're very necessary, of course, in our love and life, all our relationships. Now, women, on contrary to men, in contrast to men, we have cyclic fertility, which means our fertility comes and go. Like they show you cycling Carla, because our fertility is like a piece of the bike wheel and it comes around and around. So we're called cycling Carla. Our menstrual cycle starts on the first day of our period, okay, and it ends the last day before our next period, and that is usually about 30 days. It can be longer or shorter, and women are only fertile between 6 and 10 days in each cycle. Now, again, in contrast to men, our reproductive system is cradled really on the inside of our pelvis. It's all on the inside, protected by our pelvis, kind of like a baby cradle, okay? We have the ovaries, which produce and they don't produce, actually. They just mature because we're born with all the eggs we're ever going to have. We just need to mature them. That is what releases our eggs. The fallopian tubes are where the eggs are scooped up and brought into the inside of the uterus. Our uterus is also known as something that's in a common prayer, the fruit of Mary's womb. That's another word for uterus. I want you to think about it at this point because I know you've probably seen all this before. But that makes your womb a very holy place, okay? Mary's womb was holy. It held the Son of God. Our wombs are holy because they hold the potential for our children. And your mom knows, if she's in here, that you were definitely a holy blessing to her. So think about that when you think about uterus or womb. It's definitely a holy place. The inside of the uterus, there's an inside lining. It's called the endometrium. It plays a big role in our cycle, and I'll talk about that in just a second. It's kind of like the baby blanket where the baby kind of snugs in there and starts its life once it gets down there. What have I missed? No. Ovary, fallopian tube, uterus, inside of the uterus. The neck of the uterus. The cervix is the opening from the bottom of the womb to the outside of the body. The cervix right here, which means neck, in Latin, contains a few little specialized cell sections called crypts that secrete a very special kind of mucus. Now look, this is very important for fertility, this mucus. I wouldn't have named it mucus, okay? Mucus is what comes out of your nose, like when you have a cold. It's not like that, okay? It's a type of fluid that's very important to our fertility, and we'll talk about that in detail in a minute, but they call it mucus, so I have to call it that. The outside entrance to the outside from the womb to the outside of the body is called the vagina. It's also called the birth canal because that's how the baby gets out into the world. And that's all the pieces, so I don't have to go over any more terminology. And for a lot of you guys, that terminology is not going to be particularly new. Now, externally, the female has several important genital structures as well. The labia, which means lips, provide the outside of these structures. The interior, it's way on the other side. I'm not going to be able to see it. The exterior labia is the part of your vaginal area that has hair on it that protects the outside. The inside is a little more sensitive. You have the urethral opening where we excrete urine. And we have another opening, and that's the vagina. And then if you go to the third opening, you're at the anus. That's all they want me to go over on that one for you. Now, sexual intercourse takes place in the vagina when the man inserts his erect penis inside of her vagina and deposits his sperm. Okay? This is designed to be a loving act between husband and wife where the husband gives himself fully to his wife, mind, heart, and body, right? And we're made to receive that gift in order to give ourselves to our husbands fully, mind, heart, and body. It is sexual intercourse is also rightly called the marital act because it's meant to be a renewal of the wedding vows when we said that we would love each other freely, fully, fruitfully, forever, and faithfully. It's such a powerful act that when this happens, you might have to name another person 9 months later. It's a very powerful thing. Now, it's important to note at this time that even though God made this to be a loving action between a husband and a wife, it doesn't always happen that way. And even if we come into existence in not this ideal and special way, God loved each of us into creation. Each of us are loved, wanted, very special, and of course has a purpose, and God has a plan for each of our lives. Unrepeatable, unique, and really precious is what we are to God. So the ovary, now they're going back to the ovary, okay? And they want you to know that the ovary really is a fantastic organ. It's really cool. So the woman is born with all the eggs she'll ever need, really more than she'll ever need. She's born with about all the way up to the fallopian tube. That is the normal place. They can meet at different places depending on your medical history and that type of thing. But generally, it's in the fallopian tube. Tampons. I have 5 girls. This was a big thing. How do you insert it? Well, some of my girls refused to insert it. That was it for them. They were like, no, this is gross. I'm not doing this. I said, that's fine. But then you have sporty girls and they swim and you really can't use a pad when you swim, right? So you learn if you buy a box of tampons, then your moms will help you with this. It has a little sheet with a little diagram, and the key is angled. Don't go this way. Go the way of how your body is shaped, and that makes it easier. Now, if something happens and it hurts to try to take it out or it hurts to put it in, get with your mom. They've been through it. They know what to do, or your grandma or your big sister, someone who's had experience with it. I have a 24-year-old. She still refuses to put them on because she had a couple of traumatic experiences because we didn't understand angles when we were younger. Like, read the diagram. But you don't have to use those. You can use other things. There's also cups now, little silicone cups that some of my older girls have been using very successfully. I'm a little too old for that, so I don't try. But there's all kinds of different ways to do that now. Talk to your mom. It's not rocket science. You will get there, I promise. And then I have, what is a G-spot and what is an orgasm? Now, when a man gets really sexually stimulated, okay, during the marital act, he has that ejaculation, okay, which is his orgasm. It feels really good. The sperm go to where they're supposed to go. bing, bang, maybe we get a new baby, everything's done. Well, the woman also gets sexually excited when she can get sexually excited when she has intercourse as well. And there are ways to enhance that situation for her, which you're going to talk to your mom about, because she also can get very excited. Although she doesn't ejaculate any type of sperm or anything, it makes having sex a very pleasurable experience. You know, God wants new images of himself in the world, right? So he has us fall in love and get married and do something that can be very pleasurable for both persons in order for that to happen, okay? But for details on that, I definitely want you to talk to your moms, because that's a little past scope of what we normally go on in family honor, okay? And then you go, and then I've got another one, but I'll do that.
Okay. I have another sperm question. It says, why does it have to take so many sperm to just get one to fertilize? This is a great question. And there are several ways to answer it. Part of it is, you know, the sperm are kind of in a little competition.
The male chromosome, after all.
Not all of the sperm will actually make it all the way to the fallopian tube. So you're kind of assuring that the best and most healthy sperm are going to be the ones to get there and to be able to deliver, you know, the parts of you that make you you. Another reason, and I think this is the same with women, because despite the fact that we are born with all of the egg cells that we'll ever have, we're still born with far more than we will ever use. And it's the same with men's sperm. Like, there's far more than are ever going to be necessary. And part of this can be seen as a sign of just how, like, tremendous God's love is, in that it's so above and beyond that it, like, pours itself out for us. If we look at the crucifix back here, I study theology, and one of the things that you talk about is that one drop of Christ's blood is enough to redeem the entire universe. But he didn't choose just to, you know, prick his finger and shed a drop of blood for us. He chose to die and give all of himself for us on the cross. So I think it's a similar kind of thing, where it's just an overabundance, way beyond, you know, what would be limited and necessary, because that's not what the nature of love is. I have another menstrual cycle question. It says, how do you feel when you have your menstrual cycle? This is a good question, and it depends a lot on the woman. I have some friends who their menstrual cycles are really painful. Mine are not that painful. I know other people who, like, hardly bothers them. Sometimes you have cramps. Sometimes you've got other symptoms that, you know, you'll kind of figure out as you go on. And, you know, there are some ways to, you know, manage them. Like, you have, like, pain medicine and, like, heating pads, and those things can be good. 'Cause there's a lot happening in your body, which is, you know, a lot of things going on. And so, it's menstrual cramps. Those are caused because those muscles around your ovaries they're, like, squeezing like this. Because they're trying to get all of that, like, the baby blanket stuff you talked about. They're trying to get all that out. So you really need all of that out, because you don't want it to just, like, stay up in there and, get moldy or something. I don't know if that happens.
You don't
want to
stay up there.
You don't want to stay up there. It needs to come out.
I'm not sure about the mold.
I don't know if it gets moldy. But anyway, so all of those symptoms are kind of are part of your body, like, naturally. And it's healthy. Now, there are some times when, you know, there are health concerns. So if your periods are unusually painful, you know, talk to your moms about that. And the other thing, and I know you talk about this all the time, any of these kind of, like, symptoms or things that you're having, talk to your mom about, because your mom is the one who your periods are likely to follow after. She's the, you know, kind of genetic pattern for the way that your cycles will kind of work. Yeah. So any problems or things that you're experiencing, it's very likely that she's experienced them too. So definitely go to your mom to talk about that. This is another fun. I always love the twin questions. Is it possible to have a boy and a girl identical twin? No, it is not. Because as we saw, when it's when the sperm meets the egg that it brings the chromosomes, or the like the XY chromosomes, which are what determine our sex. So because an identical twin is made by an already fertilized egg splitting into two, that already fertilized egg either has two X chromosomes or an X and a Y chromosome, and then it splits. And so when it splits, both of the cells it splits into will have either XX or XY, depending on what the initial egg was. So you're not going to be able to get identical twins that are different genders. But you can get fraternal twins. They're different genders. You know, if because there's two separate eggs, two separate sperm, and the sperm could give, you know, one sperm could give an X, one could give a Y. The last question is a really good one. It says, how can kids feel good about themselves when their family doesn't look like other families? Like if their parents have gone through a divorce, if they're single parents, or if they're being raised by their grandparents. And this is a great question. I'm really glad you gave this to me. My parents are divorced. And this is one of those things that, even though I am thankful because my parents were divorced when I was a very young child, so I didn't have to kind of experience the pain of that separation as an adult. I have friends who have, and it's really, really heartbreaking. But on one hand, we can acknowledge that not every situation is ideal and perfect. We talked about this earlier. Like, this is real love in real life. And real love in real life is really hard. But that being said, you know, this whole creating life, you know, like Jeannie mentioned this, it doesn't matter what circumstance that someone is born into. That person is a child of God, made in the image of God. Their bodies are sacraments. They have a plan. God has a plan for their life. And a lot of times God uses our unique situations as ways to shape us and form us. And that's really what allows us to be the person that we are and also to, you know, to bring our unique gifts and perspectives to the world. So if you are in that situation where your family is has experienced some brokenness and loss of whatever sort, you know, like, that's okay. That's all my questions.
Very good. Okay, so we have, let's see what's next on here. We have another little thing for you. Okay, the full heart. So if you go to your book, let me find the full heart page. Maybe you guys can find it before me. Thank you. On page 13, you see the same picture that's up there. Okay, so chastity is what frees us to truly love someone else like Christ-like love, right? So what do the five qualities of Christ-like love look like? And we talked about this before, the five Fs, okay? They're full, they're forever, faithful, fruitful, and I missed one. Free, thank you, and free, not coerced. So the Lord's behavior can show us that, and we can make the determination whether something is a truly loving act or one that falls short of Christ-like love. So we're going to discuss a couple behaviors that generally fall short of Christ-like love, and you're going to tell me what Fs are missing. It's really easy. I'll start with an easy one, adultery. Okay, and adultery is defined as having sexual relations between a married person and someone who is not their spouse. Okay, so what F is missing? Just call it out. Faithful, because the spouse has already promised to be faithful to someone else, right? And forever, because they already promised forever to someone else. I knew you'd be good at this. Okay, so let's do the next one. Premarital sex. That's intercourse between two unmarried people. Two unmarried people. What Fs are missing? Fruitful. It's not usually intended to be fruitful, at least not in a having a children type of thing, right? They might be trying to show love, but usually it's not meant to bring new life. What else? Faithful and forever, because there's been no commitment, right? They're not under the sacrament. There's been no commitment. Very good. Let's do masturbation next. Now, masturbation is defined as sex with oneself, where you use one's own body to satisfy your sexual urges. What Fs are missing? Fruitful. It's not a loving action to yourself. It's a using action. And you are not going to get children out of that. What else? Say it again.
Full.
Are you being a gift to yourself? I don't think so. Is it forever? Are you in relationship here? There's no relationship here. It's basically, it's an immature, okay? It can be immature and exploratory. But basically, it's a type of self-abuse that turns us inward and allows us to think of ourselves as an object. Can be very dangerous. Very good. Let's do contraception. Contraception as defined as anything or action that separates the sexual act from its potential to procreate new life. What's the obvious one? Fruitful, because it's not meant to be fruitful, life-giving. Not that it's not meant to be fruitful, love-giving, but life-giving. And do you have another one? There's another real easy one. It's not full because we're holding back our fertility. Very good. So, oh, that's all of them. Oh, no, we have one more. Homosexual acts. Homosexual acts defined as sexual acts between two persons of the same sex. Now, remember, we're talking about actions here. We're not talking about feelings. Feelings are not, they're morally neutral, okay? But this is the action. So what Fs are missing? They cannot bear children, although they are trying to fulfill the love-giving. What else?
Forever.
Generally not forever. There's a stronger one, though.
Faithful.
Sometimes it's not very faithful. It's culturally, it tends not to be faithful, but the one that's for sure that's very easy to say, oh, there's no argument from is full, because our bodies don't fit together that way. We can't be a full gift to self when we don't have the right parts to fit together. Does that make sense? Okay, so the now that you have the idea of seeing if the action measures up to Christ-like love, I'm hoping that will give you an idea of being able to say, well, this is not a loving action. Not that you're a bad person if you do this. We all fall short in God-like love in a lot of our actions every day, okay? But that you can say this action is not a loving action, separating it from the person, because, you know, God says you love the sinner. We're all sinners. Just hate this sin, okay? So that hopefully gives you a little bit of a measurement there. And the sad part about folks who engage in this type of activity is generally they're trying to enhance the love. They're trying to show the love that they have for the other person. But these actions can actually destroy their love, and they break hearts. So God doesn't expect us always to be perfect. So he set in line this wonderful blessing that we have as Catholics. What sacraments mend hearts as Catholics? What sacraments mend broken hearts as Catholics?
Confession
and Eucharist, right? They're there available to us all the time, and they can truly help us mend our broken hearts. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He only asks us to try to love as he loves, to pray for the strength to resist temptation, and to come with him and be sorry when we fail. Our hope for you, that's Family Honors hope for all of you, parents and teens, is that you know that God always wants your love, your heart to be full of his love and never broken. And one of the ways, do I want to do that, or do I want to give it to you next? Let's see what this says on here. I have another question, too, that I'm burning to answer, but I'm waiting till the end. Oh, that's the only one. So yours doesn't have a thingy thing. Why don't you, it's in the book. Why don't you do yours and then.
Can I use your book?
You may. You may use my book.
Don't
All right. Don't take my last question, though, because I want to answer it.
I'll go back. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah,
all right, if you would all turn to page 14. There is this really helpful chart right there.
Some of you have already noticed the chart. It's a great chart.
It's a good chart. It's got a lot of color, and I like color on a chart. This is really helpful to understand, you know, some of the distinctions between men and women, and to really give us the knowledge to be able to respect and reverence our brothers in Christ who are downstairs somewhere. So there are a lot of differences. I mean, we've seen a lot of physical differences between men and women, but there are also differences in sexual arousal. Sexual arousal is the preparation for our bodies to have intercourse. For men, this arousal can be rather quick. So we compare men to microwaves. So you see that down there at the bottom, where, you know, men tend to cook pretty quickly. But women, it takes a little bit longer. And so we are more like crock pots, you could say, a slow cooker, where it's just going to take us a bit longer, which is not to say that, you know, the same process is not going on for both. Like, women also get, we cook, you know. but this is helpful to understand the difference between them, because sometimes actions that we do which may not be to us, you know, as warm as cooking, can have very different results on the men. So if you look at, you know, like simply being together, men tend to be a little bit more visual than women are. So a man, you know, if he's just like with a pretty girl, he can already start to be just a little bit warm, okay? And then so, you know, if you like holding hands or kissing, you know, those kinds of things, he'll start to heat up faster than women do. So this is important for us to be aware of what we're doing, because sometimes guys and girls will use these differences instead of respecting them and their purpose. Sometimes guys might use love language, like you're the only one for me, or I'll always be there for you, in order to get sex. And sometimes girls might use sex in order to get a guy to fall in love with them. But both of these examples are times when they are using each other to get something that they want and are not ready for. And real love doesn't use other people. Real love is for the other person. And so chastity is important because it helps us figure out in these kinds of situations what's an act that is helping another person and what's a truly loving act and what's something that could be more detrimental for the other person. I'm all good.
No, no.
I lost it. You just said not losing.
Just remember, there's no medium on a microwave. Just saying.
Okay, and I have one more fabulous topic that we're going to go over, which is pornography. Okay, now pornography is defined. I know they're like, oh, no, not another thing about sex. Sorry, it's a sex program. We got one more thing about sex. Pornography is any media, pictures, billboards, movies, books that are intended to arouse your sexual desire. Anything that's trying to get you to lust, okay? Anything that's trying to get you hot, as they might say. And it's everywhere. I mean, it's still in books. That's old school. It's on billboards. It's at stores at the mall. It can be on our phones at the touch of a finger if we want it. It is pervasive. And the industry, and I'm talking about the professional industry of pornography, targets young people. Okay, the average age of exposure now is 9, which this is last year. It's probably gone down again. When we started doing this about 10 years ago, it was 13. So it's getting younger and younger. We find this stuff without even looking for it now. It's so pervasive. Everyone gets exposed to this at one time or another. Moms, has anyone not been exposed to some type of pornographic material? Look, there's no hands up, okay? So it does, it happens to everybody. So you're like, okay, Jeannie, so what's the big deal? Well, there is a big deal because participating in pornography can be dangerous, and it's also a lie. Porn takes something that we need, something that's God-given, human beings with the need for intimacy, and it twists it until fulfilling that need is something that harms us, separates us from the people that we love, and separates us from God who loves us. Okay? People who use pornography often find themselves addicted to it. It's very addicting. Even if it's not addicting, even if you don't get addicted, it turns our focus for love inward and makes it very difficult for us to see other people as images of God instead of objects, ourselves as images of God instead of an object, okay? And it interferes with our most intimate personal relationships. So, I'll give you an example in case you're not convinced. So someone, girls, sends you a naked or sexy photo on your phone. Are they respecting your dignity? Are they asking you to view them as an image of God? If they ask for a sexy picture, are they respecting your whole spice, that you're more than just a body? Or are they using you? You can tell me. What is it? You know the answer. They are using you. You know this, right? This is not news to you yet. Sexting is a problem in this country starting in early middle school. It's pervasive. Okay, so what are the remedies? What are the remedies for porn? Rip out the industry. Throw away your internet. What are you going to do about porn? What's a big thing, a big, big first step in fighting against pornography? Yeah.
Being aware of it.
Being aware. And then once you're aware, think of the bridge. What do you do? What's the bridge of? Remember we did it? The bridge of? Communication, right? We talk about it in our families. We understand that maybe it pulled up on someone's phone and they weren't looking for it, and we track it down and we make sure no one's targeting our family, right? We talk about it openly, understand that it's a problem. You can use internet filters. I've seen people use that. A big deal with in my family was phone rules. When my kids got phones, I said, just tell all your friends, everyone you know, that I check your phone. Whether I check the phone or not doesn't matter, because they know that if they send something inappropriate, I might see it, right? So it helps, you know, that limit or that rule help them quite a bit and help them not get harassed by other people trying to use them in nefarious ways. Limiting your screen time, keeping your screen so it's not private in private areas. Seeking pastoral or professional help when needed. And, of course, the sacrament of reconciliation does a lot for mending the hearts on that. So we didn't actually used to cover this topic in the girls group when I started about 20 years ago because it didn't seem to be relevant to this age group. But now one-third of all visitors to porn sites are women. One-third to porn sites are women. 9.4 million hits a month. This is United States statistics. This is not worldwide statistics. So we need to be informed, and we need to be able to protect ourselves and our families from this threat. As we continue the remainder of the program, of course, we're going to look at how to develop healthy ways for us to meet this need for love and relationship that's appropriate to our stage in life. Adolescents, your parents are here because they want you to have the best life possible. They're just here because they love you. They're not just dragging you here because, you know, they want you to have a bad Saturday, okay? They want to be there for you, and they want the best for you. So seeking their advice is always, always recommended because they really want to be there for you and love you. And I have one last thing. We have a souvenir for you. You're going to love it. It's made just for you. It's a handy-dandy book that goes over a lot of the stuff that we had on the slides. With drawings! You're going to love it. This is a great bathroom book. Not if you have prepubescent kids at home, because this is not for them. Okay? It's got... You guys might not have any questions today. You got a lot going on today. You're going to be like, oh, I'm so glad I'm out of there. I don't have to talk about this subject anymore. But questions will come up. There's good, quick answers in here, age-appropriate answers for that. If any of the moms need a little review, which I need it all the time because I forget stuff, it's also in here as well. So take one of these per family. That's our gift to you. Excuse me for putting up with us in the program. Now, if you have a son in the other room, make sure they got one. And if they didn't, just come and see us and we'll give you one. Because I want to make sure everybody gets one. And this is the first time I've ever had this question. I'm so excited to tell you about it. It's, what does this have to do with confirmation? I love it. Okay. When you are confirmed, ladies, you become a what in the church?
Adult.
And what type of issues have we been talking about? Have they been baby issues? No, this is adult issues. These are life issues. Why this communication about our sexuality is makes you feel like crossing your arms and your legs and kind of closing in on yourself is because it's deeply personal. That is why it's embarrassing sometimes to talk about it. A lot of things, being a grown-up, you have to face some things that can be embarrassing. And like it or not, you ladies are the young ladies, are the ladies, we're already women. But the young ladies, you're becoming women, right? And who is responsible for you when you become a woman? Yes, and if you're an adult in the church, who is responsible for you staying in a state of grace? This was my favorite part of confirmation with my kids. Who's responsible for you staying in a state of grace?
You are, because before confirmation, you know who's responsible for that? Your parents. Yeah, we're using that. Woo, let's talk about it. No, really. You're responsible for yourself now. So it's important for you to know the facts, right? And what is our goal in life? We've told you a couple times a day. What is your purpose in this life? You're made in the image of God, and you're here to what? Love like God, right? To love and be loved. Okay? That's what you're here for. So when you learn the virtue of chastity, you're learning to actually love one another and refuse to use someone else. Does that make sense? That's what it has to do with confirmation. We oftentimes get one more question, and they're probably going to come up and get us because we're probably late.
I just want to make a point.
Go for it.
You were talking about sexting and sending photographs. You think we really need to be clear? It's illegal. It's child pornography.
Yes.
If it happens, that our kids should speak to the authorities, and they should never take photos of themselves and send it. They can get a lot of trouble.
Agreed.
Please,
and if you receive something, you need to talk to your parents so that they can report it.
You need to include that as part of your teaching. It doesn't just pray and, talk. You really need to call the authorities.
Right. And I would say go to your parents so they can call the authorities is what I would say. So you have it on record and you have an adult being your advocate for that. But thank you. I appreciate that. I also usually get a question, how can I talk about this with my parents? This issue is so embarrassing, I don't want to talk to my parents. Well, who loves you more than God? I mean, God loves you more than anyone else except for God. I can't say that, I'm going to get struck down. Who loves you in this world the most except for God? Your parents do. So they really want to be there for you. And that's why they're here, they're investing the time in you. So that's why you talk to your parents about it, because they love you and they really want to put you in the right place and want you to have the best life possible. You guys have been awesome. I really appreciate it. I know it's been a big group. It's been tough to get through everything because we're such a big group and sometimes you can't hear, but you've been very, very patient. So we'll go down, we'll wrap up, and we'll finish up the day. If you guys have any questions or anything else you want to talk to me about, I will be around. They didn't come out.